Amen. Bless you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you. Well, it's been a joy. Amen. It has. Anytime the Bible says if we gather two or three that are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. And I am so thankful that you pressed your way out tonight. I always tell people when they come in the house of the Lord, I have them turn to one another and I say, say this, and you don't have to say it, but just listen to what I'm saying. Hello, overcomer. And they'll say, hello, overcomer. And I said, when you make your mind up to come to the house of God, nobody can stop you. Not even the devil himself. And if he had a grandmother, he couldn't stop you either. It's when we make our minds up. When we're caught between two opinions, it's kind of hard to move one foot forward or backwards because we're just stuck. Yes. But when we make our mind up to do what God says we need to do, it kind of gets kind of easy, you know. So we're real excited. This is the last night, and I know that it would be nice if I can stay longer. Amen.
Yes.
But I don't think the wife is going to put up with that. And on top of that, I called her today. It was kind of funny. I just kind of called to see how she was doing. And I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm at the park with the grandkids. I said, oh, my goodness. And I'm telling you, they're hollering and screaming and jumping on the slide and jumping around. And she's trying to talk to me. I said, honey, I can't hear you. Them kids in the background are just hollering. But it's just good to know that she's in a safe place. But I know she's expecting me home as well as Chuck. I know his wife, Karen, is expecting him home. And but it's been a joy. I wanted to tell you that, you know, it's been a joy and an honor and a privilege. Anytime I meet God's people, whether it's one or 100 or 1,000, I'm just so thankful because I get a chance to see my brothers and sisters. And I'm hoping that I'll see you again soon down here. If I don't see you soon down here, I'll see you up there. Praise God. Amen. So God is good. Come on, let's pray with me if you would. Father, we want to honor your presence and thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Thank you for those who have come by faith and obedience to the call. We've heard your voice. We're here. We're in position. We're ready to learn and receive those things we believe that you've given us by way of your word and your spirit. Father, I thank you once again for allowing me to share out of my relationship that I have with you, with your word and the Holy Spirit. I welcome the Holy Spirit. Come on and flood my heart, my mind, this clay pot, so I can speak a word of truth to those who are here today. And God, we thank you for opening up our eyes to some truth so we can guide our hearts, our minds, and our mouth into walking by faith and not by sight. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, and verse number 6 is going to be our key verse. And Hebrews 11 is talking about basically the heroes of faith. And tonight, we're going to be talking about faith tonight. And our foundational scripture is going to be Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And we're going to start there and build from there. Amen. So I think you're going to be blessed based upon what I'm going to share with you tonight. Because we're always in training for reigning and schooling for ruling. Praise God. I've served God long enough to know that no one is going to graduate down here. The graduation is up there. So it's good to know that because it keeps me a heart. Someone said a long time ago that if you keep a spirit of learning, you will always grow. I mean, you got to, you know, keep that about yourself, you know, because life is full of journeys that we may go down or around, but it's always a learning lesson if you just be open to it. So I try to be one that always trying to learn. Learn something about myself, learn something about others, and because why God wants us to be students, amen, students of learning how to do things his way. So in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, I'm going to read, amen, I've been going back and forth reading different versions, and sometimes I do that for a reason to kind of pull out certain perspective from another view. Sometimes it doesn't change the word, it just changes the wording, because it brings it into a more practical understanding of where we are. So it talks about here in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. and that he is rewarded to them that diligently seek him. In the Amplified, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to God, to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. I like that. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Now, I like this because tonight we're going to be talking about faith tonight, you know. And most people don't know that faith, amen, I got a description here. Faith is really a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. Then it says to be persuaded and in persuaded in something. Now, most people don't believe it, but we all have faith. When a person buys a certain kind of car, they had faith to buy the car. Is that all right? Now, I don't believe they just woke up and said, I'm going to buy a car. Well, some people may do that. I don't know. I got put in check real quick, you know. But most people that I know, they usually do. They're studying. They're putting their faith in something. What I'm trying to say is faith is usually built upon a belief. Something where you choose to believe in something. In other words, you take your faith and you hook it up with it. Is that making any sense? Now, I like what the scripture says because the Bible says here, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it uses this word, C-O-M-E-T-H, which is a strange word, cometh. But when you look at the word cometh, it's talking about a progressive, a slow-moving effort to move in a place to seek God out. This same word cometh is found in John 10 and 10. You don't have to turn there. It said the thief cometh. Simply meaning that the enemy is always looking for an advantage over you and over me. I tell people all the time in the congregation, he does not go on vacation. He'll go on vacation with you. Because he's always trying to find a way to disturb you or to make you feel less than who God says you need to be. Is that making any sense? So this word cometh, amen, is a powerful word. But before cometh, the word come is in place. Because remember, we get saved. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8, it says we're saved by faith through grace. It said it's not of us, it's the gift of God. So you got saved because the Bible says in Romans that how can they hear without a preacher? And how should a preacher preach except he be sent? And when we speak the word, we're speaking revelation truth. Revelation is written in the word, which is this is the Bible is full of revelation because it's God's insight to show us what he wants to do in terms of our life. Now, one of the greatest failures, you'll hear me say this tonight because I'm going to want you to be aware of what we're talking about. One of the greatest failures most believers, amen, in Christ, once they have committed their lives to Christ, one of the greatest failures is they fail to learn to live by faith. They fail to learn. That's that word again, learn. Because some people think through, because when we receive Christ, they think through osmosis that we already know how to do this. Is that all right? And that's what discipleship is for, so we can teach us how to move from naturally living. When I say naturally living, we're talking about usually our senses. Our five senses is what we use in terms of learning how to follow God. If you remember when Adam fell, he was really governed by his spirit. His spirit was more sensitive to God's what voice. How we know that, what the Bible says, after they fell in the garden, Adam and his wife, the Bible said God called for them, his voice called for them. And he heard it, but he hid himself. And the reason why he hid himself, because his spirit has failed. Something had awakened in them. If you notice, the Bible says when she ate of the tree, her eyes was open to another realm. Now they're more conscious of their flesh than they are sensitive to God. There's a blocker there. There's something that's confusing them. And even in the scripture, it says that he said, I heard your voice, but I was afraid because I was naked. I like the way God, he said, who told you was naked? Yeah. In so many words, he was saying, you've been naked since I've created you. But now he's awakened to his sense or flesh realm. And because of that, that's now what's ruling him, other than his spirit being in relationship with God. There was a separation because of sin, because of eating of the apple. The Bible says, even when God said, listen, the day that you eat of the tree, you're going to know both good and... So something had awakened in them. How we know it, the Bible said after they ate of the tree, the Bible said they seen themselves. Then they hid themselves. Then they covered themselves. They didn't get in trouble and just ask God, because now they know they have done something that they shouldn't have done, and now what they ate has taken partaker inside of them that causes them to see differently. Is that all right? So the thing here is that we thank God for Jesus being the restorer. Hallelujah. And when our sin has been, the Adam sin nature has been taken away from us because we've been regenerated, we still have to learn how to walk by faith. Is that all right? So we're going to look at another scripture here that's going to help us kind of walk this out. And it's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. Because we're talking about learning to live by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. And before I read it, I'm going to tell you why it's important for us to learn how to live by faith. And the reason why we have to learn how to live by faith is that God is on another system in how you receive. In other words, God is not on the system of what we call paper currency. In other words, I told somebody a long time ago, I said, those who need something in this world, matter of fact, you can go, they've been teasing us about Walmarts here, so I'll use Walmart today. Anything you need is on the shelf at Walmarts. Is that all right? Now, how it works, you have to exchange something in order to receive. Is that all right? You just can't go down the shelf and start grabbing stuff and filling up the cart and walk out the door. They're going to look for some type of currency. And the currency is money. Now we have credit cards. Nothing wrong with it, because money is not evil. We think money is evil. No, it's only evil when it's evil in you. Is that all right? So if I give this dollar is not evil, it's a $10, praise God. It's not evil, but what I'm simply saying is that this $10 that I have here basically is designed for currency, for goods and products. Is that all right? So I would take this, and it's an exchange. Once I put this down, I'm legally entitled to that product that I'm trying to receive. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
That's the systems of this world. In the kingdom, the currency of the kingdom is when you use your faith according to God's word. Last night we were talking about the blind man. When Jesus asked the man, what do you want? Because he was asking him to see whether or not he can believe and use his confession to receive his healing. You will study Jesus a lot. You'll find out when people get healed, he'll always say this, by your faith. The woman with the issue of blood, she finally confessed that she touched him. He said, your faith has made you whole. He's carrying everything we need, but you got to use your faith in order to pull it. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me tonight. So that's why the enemy, the Bible says, the thief comes to steal. The first thing he wants to steal is your ability to have faith in God. Because he knows if you can do that, you can't receive anything from him. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek. The reward is the promise or the promises. Everybody that got healed, they had to use their faith. The man at the gate, beautiful. Remember Peter and John came? They spoke a word to him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. What did they do? They reached out his hand. He could have put his hand back. He reached too. because he was using his faith to join their faith, and that because of the power of Jesus, he was able to be raised up again. Is that right? So faith is the currency of the kingdom. Your faith, somebody say, my faith. Most people say, well, I don't have faith. We're already at 2 Corinthians. Don't slow down, Rob. We good. Praise God. Listen what this says. It says, we walk by faith. I just want to stay right there. The problem is if I go to Kmart and don't have no currency, I can look at all the stuff on the shelf and leave and be disappointed because I don't have the currency. The only thing that's keeping me from receiving is I don't have the currency. Most people don't realize your faith has to be developed to receive all the promises that God has for you. You have to have enough understanding. Your faith has to deal with you believing God to the degree that you can confess it and say it. The greatest real illustration I just gave you, because it says we walk by faith. That means once we get saved, we have to learn how to adjust ourselves to walk by God's word according to what he promises us. The woman at the issue of blood, y'all remember that story. It's been preached many, many a times. But this is only time in the scripture where Jesus didn't seek this woman out to get healing. She saw him out. And then she said to herself, listen, this is her faith working. Her faith, your faith is always tied to what you say.
That's right.
I'm letting this sink in a little bit. The faith has a lot to with how you say. What you say has a lot to deal with where your faith is. Is that all right? Jesus said over in Mark 11:22, listen what he said. First he says, have faith in God. What he's really saying, take your faith and put it in God. Y'all hear that? 23rd verse, then he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. So your faith is tied to what you talk to me tonight. Y'all, this is the group I think will talk to me tonight. I've been kind of looking for that all week long. I've been making them. They be like, now, in here. Are you hearing me? First he says, have faith in God, not in yourself, not in your abilities, but have your faith in God. And then he said, ye shall say. Faith is tied to what you say. So we're not just to say what we want to say, but once we have knowledge, which faith is not, the faith of God and our faith is kind of different because the faith of God is his word. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the
word.
Come on, talk to me. So God's faith is his word. And to know God, to know his word.
Yeah.
To know his word is to know his promises.
Yeah.
To know his promises is to know his will.
Yeah.
To know his will means I know my rights.
Yeah.
So if I know my rights, I can claim them by having faith in what he says and call them to me.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
That's what the woman with issue of blood. Listen, she knows she's under covenant. She's under covenant. She knows she's a Hebrew, amen. She's a Jew, Jewish person. She knows that she's under covenant, and that means God is her father. She's got promises.
Yes. Yes.
And she heard that Jesus is on a healing campaign.
Yeah.
And on top of that, she had issues that she had to overcome in order to get her faith released. Some people don't know, you have to overcome some human issues in order to get your faith, amen, tied to where God has for you. Because what? She was afflicted. She was a woman. Amen. She was bleeding. Amen. Bleeding from her private area. She was bleeding. She wasn't supposed to be in public. Hello.
Yeah.
See, when you really want what God has for you, you don't let nothing stop you. Listen, she got even to a low place. She crawled. She crawled in the midst of everybody. And everything, what kept her moving was her faith. Because she kept saying this, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can just touch the hem. She kept repeating it as some like Psalms about meditating day and night. She was muddling that thing off. It was motivating her to get past her fears of people and whatever. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can just touch the hem. And she's crawling, people stepping on it. Because when you know what? When you're in faith, you have to actually press through to get what God has for you. But you have to say it and keep moving in the direction of what you're saying and seeing it. She's seen herself being hope. Finally, she got close enough. She just reached that little hand out. And I don't know how much she grabbed, but she just touched it enough. And the Bible says the exchange took place. Her faith pulled on the exchange. Ooh, glory to God. She didn't have to fast and pray and bind and loose. She didn't, come on here. She used her faith and her confession to believe other than herself and kept saying it over and over again. Then she touched him, and the Bible said virtue came out of Jesus, and he stopped and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, all these people around us, Jesus, you got the nerve to say who touched? He said, there was a different touch. Somebody made a withdrawal. Most people don't believe Jesus is the ATM machine from heaven that's walking around wanting to give people their deliverance, their healing, and their breakthrough. It's all through him. Yes. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It's a beautiful story. Amen. I don't have time to get all in it, but I would love to, but we'd be here till tomorrow. Praise God. Because it's so much in there. So God has to teach us. Look, keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. This just came to my spirit. I have to read this. And it's found over, keep your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, but we're going to come back to that. We were already in Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews, amen, chapter number 5. And I want to read this real quick. Hebrews 5 and 13. When you're there, just say amen.
Amen.
It talks about here, it says, the 12th verse, it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I'll become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Then it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Y'all hear that? In the Amplified, it says this, it says, for even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. Then it says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced, unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness, of the conformity to divine will and purpose, thoughts and actions, for he is a mere infant and not able to talk yet. If I said what I said was correct, your faith is your confession in God's word. That's how we get the promises of God. Then if we talk double talk, what's double talk? We talk fear, we talk doubt, unbelief. We can't receive because we're not full of faith in our persuasion that it's according to God's word. I can say that. That woman knew it was okay for her to say that because she had rights, covenant rights with the relationship, what comes with the word. And covenant means God makes a promise. Yeah. So she knew that I'm going to operate on the word. I don't have the evidence yet, because the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says it's the title deed before you actually get the manifestation. Amen. You have to have the word of promise that will bring the manifestation. Yeah. Does that make any sense? That's powerful because she knows something. So, no, she's not a child or infant in terms of now she's even confessing it. And when Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, all these people around, and you saying, who touched? He said, listen, somebody made a withdrawal. And the Bible said, immediately she was healed. Are y'all getting that today?
Yes.
So we'll go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, we turn, listen. It's okay, because you know what? We're learning how to do this. And you know, when you're learning, I always tell people, no one fails in God's school. It just takes some of us a little longer than others. Is that all right? God is not in the business of making you fail. You can fall down, listen, 7 times and get back up again. God says, you know what? Eventually, you'll get it. Is that all right? Now, listen what it says here. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 7, amen, it says, for we walk by faith and not by... See, that's a problem right there. That's a big problem. Once I get saved, because listen, you got to understand, I came in at 25 years old, but all my life I've been walking by what I see, what I think, what I feel. My constitution for doing something was me, myself, and I. I didn't have no reference to God's word. No, when you don't have reference to God's word, you don't have no reference to the promises that he has for your life. So I thought, you know, when I'm walking and doing things in life, I thought I was smart enough to do what I needed to do. But eventually, it kept me beyond the promises of God, because the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But now that I'm in Christ, now I have to understand to make that adjustment. Somebody said, make the adjustment. So being in Christ, it demands a reconstitution of how we live day by day. To reconstitution, another reconstitution has to deal with where we constitute our behavior. Comes out of that inner court of our mindset, where we think about it and we pass the bill, and then we speak it, and then we'll go forth and do it. Is that all right? So we need God's word involved in that. Now listen, this is important for you and I to hear this, because if we're learning how to walk by faith, listen what this says in the Amplified. It says, when we walk by faith, listen, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our convictions, believing and respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust, holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. So it's simply saying that we're going to walk, but now we're going to walk by having knowledge with our minds renewed according to the word, and the word is going to direct us now. Is that all right? So most people don't understand that the word of God is designed. If you look at Psalms 105, let's turn there real quick, and we'll come back to talk about this some more. In Psalms 105, it talks about a beautiful scripture here in Psalms 105. I think it's verse number 69, I think it is. Is it 105? Let me see here. Let me get over here. 119. Give me a minute. Hold up. Y'all just pause for a minute. Give me a minute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Let me see if I wrote that down. Oh, I wrote it down. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. How many of you sometimes just got to pause for a minute? Amen. Don't move. Amen. Just stay right where you're at. Praise God. Psalms. Where am I at? Psalms 105. Is that what I said before?
Yeah.
See, I'm second guessing myself already. Praise God. Psalms 105. All right. Where am I going? Psalms 105. That can't be Psalms 105, Ron. Mm-hmm. Look like I'm going to have to call on the Holy Ghost here. I need some help right about now. I need that scripture. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to 119. 119. And 96. Psalms 119 and 96. Is that all right? Now, listen to what this says. Oh, how I love thy word, or thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's 97, 96. Amen. I said 96. Okay, it says, I have seen an end of all my perfections, but thy commandments is exceedingly broad. Y'all hear that? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You see what I'm saying? They're trying to take the word of God and begin to meditate on the word. Now listen to what it says. Through thy commandments has made me wiser than the enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all the teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. This is, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than a honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Then it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do y'all hear that? Now this is powerful, because what this is simply talking about, and when we begin to nurture ourselves in the word of God and understand, and how you nurture yourself in the word of God, you have to really look at all the epistles. I tell people to read the epistles, like 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 3 Peter, I mean, not even 3 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, John, I mean, 1 John, 2 John, 3, all those has the epistles, takes us into a greater understanding, because now the disciples are actually living out what God is telling them they need to do. Does that make any sense? Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to go there real quick, and it looks like we're flipping, flopping all over the place, but I'm just laying some foundation here before we take off here. In Ephesians chapter number 2, amen, because we're going to take off in a minute, praise God. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, and how you get to this place of developing your faith, you have to see yourself in the book, because it's really talking to you. Is that all right? It's not talking, listen, it's really is talking to you. You have to understand, and most people don't understand that you have to take the word of God and take it for oneself. And it's important, because if you don't take it and take ownership of it, you're not going to develop your faith, because your faith is in God's word. Is that all right? Your faith is in God's word. And when I say God's word, in terms of what God's covenant promises are found in us. Remember, I read the scripture over in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. It says, all the promises in him are yea and amen, where the promises, amen, are found in Jesus. Because it's him teaching us how to use the word of God, amen, so it can be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Now, Ephesians, amen, chapter number 2, verse number 10. Listen to what this says here. And I'll read this out of the Amplified. It says, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ. My God. Born anew. That we may do the good works which God predestined and planned before us, taking paths. Somebody say, taking paths. Which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, and living the good life, my God, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now this is powerful stuff. Just touch your neighbor, this is talking about you. So I found out my greatest growth took place when I found out the word is talking to me. I'm part of the royal family. Amen. Because I'm a part of the royal family and I'm a king's kid. That means he's given me a covenant. The covenant means there are covenant rights concerning the promises that God has for us, and you have to claim them for yourself. If you don't claim it for yourself, then the thief is going to take that $10 out of my pocket, and he's going to go to Walmart, and I'll be without what I need. Are you hearing me today? Because he's taking people's faith, because we think we're not worthy, amen, to walk in this dimension of faith, because we're always trying to enter in when we're already in. Glory to God. We just have to learn how to operate when what we've been called to, and that is we're called to live a divine life. The divine life is talking about living in the supernatural. The supernatural, we live a super way, because what's super is God's word. Yes. Is that all right? Yes. The word of God is super. I mean, it's supernatural. Amen. How we know that? You can look at Jesus. Amen. Many times he's walking on the water. Amen. Amen. Praise God. They didn't left him. He didn't leave one time. He told him, just go on ahead of me. Because why? He knows, amen, that the word of faith, most people don't believe it. The word of faith is what is more real than you could ever imagine. There's another scripture. We'll turn to it real quick. Amen. I wanted to read this. No, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay right here. I'll give you the scripture. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, while we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are seen are not, what, eternal. The eternal aspect of God is what God has already willed and promised that hasn't been manifested yet. Yes. Are you hearing me? These are things, in other words, everything that God has for us has already been prepared. Yes. Now, to get them, we have to use our faith. Now, we eat the word, and then we bring our conversation along what the word tells us what we need to say. Like scriptures like this, by his stripes I'm already healed. Some people say, well, that's crazy. No, it just keeps sickness off of me. Amen. The more I say it, it keeps sickness. By his stripes I'm healed. Yes. And then sometimes the sickness tries to get upon me. It can't stay, because what I can command it to leave by speaking what his word says. Yes. Is that all right? Yes. So speaking his word basically licensed God to fulfill his promise in our life. Most people don't know, and it talks about in the scripture, it says that the angels hearken unto the voice of his word. We don't even know, the Bible said, are they not all ministering angels? In Hebrews, it said, are they not all ministering angels sent to those who are heirs of salvation? Mm-hmm. Simply saying that when we speak God's word, angels go to work. The Bible said they hearken to the voice of his word. Now Jesus, amen, he uses his voice to speak, and we see miraculous things taking place because he's only speaking what the Father tells him to speak. Is that all right? Now Jesus went to heaven. He took his voice with him. Well, who's going to speak now? We are. And when we say what God's word says according to covenant promises, let me tell you something. That woman, she knew it. She got a glimpse of it before it was even written in scripture. She knew if she kept saying it over and over, it was her right to receive what he was carrying, even though he didn't give it to her. She kept demanding it and speaking it because she was using her words of faith. Remember, we read that scripture over in Hebrews chapter number 5. Amen. Those who are infants, those who have not matured in righteousness, that righteousness is not behavior. The righteousness means I'm right with God and I'm entitled to receive the promises that he has for my life because of the blood and the word and the spirit of Jesus Christ. I don't have to earn it. He has already earned it for me. When he died, he said, it is finished. Everything that needs to come in this earthly realm that supply and help us as members of the body of Christ and through Jesus Christ, he is there to sustain everything we need. That's why when Paul said, he said, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Then he said, it ain't in heaven. He said, it's in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, that makes me in right standing with God. That means conferred upon me is favor. And favor is upon me. Then I can wake up in the morning and speak out of that realm instead of speaking out of what my pocketbook says or my wallet says or my cabinet says. I can speak out of what he has already willed in his word for me to say that it belongs to me. I don't have to worry about where how it's going to happen. All I got to do is keep saying what he says. And when we say what he says, we will for him to work. And then there's an angel that hears and says, you know, I hear God's word. Then he has to what? Carry out the commandment of that word that's being spoken. Who can speak God's word? Those who have been in covenant relationship with God. I told you I was coming then. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Those who are in covenant relationship with God has a right to demand the rights of God. Amen. Demand the rights of what he willed for us when he died on Calvary's cross. Amen. He didn't die that we would become poor. He died that we can become what? Rich. Rich in what? Not so much money, but rich in the understanding of how we receive things by using our mouth. We will our mouth to do what we need to do. That's what Jesus did. One time he went through Bethany. He seen a tree, fig tree, and he went to walk up to it and it had no fruit on it. And he said, he looked at the tree and then he said these words. He said, this from this day forth, this tree will never bring forth fruit. I think he had a bad day that day. I don't know what it was. I really do. Jesus was hungry, wanted to get some figs off a tree, went over there and looked at the tree, and all the figs are gone. And he said, you know what? From this day forth, this tree will never bring forth fruit. Then he walked by the tree, went into Bethany. Amen. The next day, they said, they came back the same way. Somebody say the same way. Came back the same. Somebody say the same way. He came back the same way, and the tree was fought all over on his side. And he walked by the tree. You know, he was just thinking that tree didn't have, walked by the tree. And the Bible said, Peter stopped and the boy stopped at the tree and said, listen. I said, Jesus, Jesus. He turned around. He said, the tree that you cursed, it's dead. He wanted to tell him, when I spoke, it was dead. You're looking for a sign. That ain't how faith works. Faith works when you will it to be so. And if there's no evidence, it's already done because it's spoken out of my mouth and it shall not return unto me void. When he said that, he said this tree is going to die. They didn't understand it died from the roots. Sometimes when you're declaring some things, there's things happening in the spirit realm that you don't even know that God has to get some things in alignment before that thing happens. We wanted to see a manifestation. No, it's already being done. That's why the woman kept saying, if I can just touch. She was already healed before she touched the man. That's why the Bible said, you should have what you say. So what you've been saying? Amen. Oh, I can't. Well, you won't. Oh, I don't feel good. You won't. Well, I feel nobody, listen, these tickle me. I feel nobody don't love me. Well, they won't. Because And hear me. I'm not saying that to say that we don't do that. I'm just saying that we have to learn how to live by faith. You have to stop saying things because you are tied to a Father who creates by his words. And Jesus is tied to the Father. That's why he always said, only speak the things that you say I need to say. Because you know what? You're going to have what you say. People don't believe that. In the kingdom, you cannot be in the kingdom, keep talking naturally. You're not going to receive the spiritual things that God has for you. Somebody said, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do have scripture for that. Turn to 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter number 2. Oh, y'all learn anything tonight?
Yeah, yes.
In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 14. Are y'all there?
Yeah.
It says, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. It says, because they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When he says the natural mind, natural man, he's not talking about the sinner. He's talking about the natural man is the unrenewed mind of the person.
Yes.
When your mind is, listen, when your mind is not renewed by the word, everything is foolish. Does that make any sense? So when we renew our mind, we renew our mind from being carnal to be what spiritually minded. That means we understand the laws of how things work. The law of gravity. If I throw this Bible up, it ain't going to keep going up. Is that all right? It's going to come down. The law of God's word is that when you speak what he says, God has to honor what you say. Because it's not your word, it's his word. That's why the enemy, he wants you to speak out of your natural mind and not speak out of the word. When he came to Jesus, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to tempt Jesus to get him to say something out of his will. And at this point, the pressure was, I know he's hungry. So I want him to speak out of his hunger. And I like what Jesus said. Yes, I'm not going to deny the fact that I'm not hungry. I'm just going to put it in perspective the way it should be. And that is the appetite does not come first. The word comes first. And then my appetite. Y'all better hear me? Yeah, see, that's the wisdom of God. Because, see, the enemy sometimes wants us to get in a place where we and people say that sometimes. Well, you're not just, you're being spooky. I don't understand that, they say. You know, is this not reality? Is this pulpit not here? Is that not reality? I said, I'm not talking about reality. Because reality is subject to change. Yeah. Somebody said, well, how can that change? It's here today. Is that all right? Yeah. We can leave, somebody can move. And he said, well, it's gone. Because things of reality and temporal means it's subject to change. But one thing will never change is what God says in his word. Heaven and earth, my God, will fall away, but his word will never change over our lives. Are you hearing me today? If he said by his stripes you are healed, you are healed. Somebody said, well, you know, that was a believer, amen, and they were trusting God for their healing, but they didn't get the healing. I said, yes, they did. He said, no, they didn't. They passed on. They died. I said, cancer didn't go over to heaven. And you said, well, wait a minute. God promised. I said, yes, and they're healed. Yeah, yeah. They just didn't get it here. They got it there.
That's right.
Hello? Yeah. Somebody said, well, no. Now, that's you wanting it here. It could be God said, you know what? No, they want to come home. I never will forget my mother-in-law. It was a great experience walking. She loved God. She found out she had cancer. She prayed and she believed, and the cancer went away. God extended her life. It came back again. Now she's at home, and they're taking care of her. And she's in and out of consciousness. And I know when that happens, it's so much of a secret place that I believe God somehow ministers to her where she can't feel the pain that's in her body because God has got her somewhere, but she's still in her body. Her spirit is still in her body. Every once in a while, she would come to herself and say, she's tired. She didn't say it, but I knew in her heart that she's ready to go home. Listen, when this body gets to, you know, it'd be nice if he can preserve it and keep it till Jesus comes. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? Sometime, if you live long enough, you just want to go home. The problem was is that the youngest daughter, the middle daughter, everybody was in agreement to release her and let her go. But she wouldn't, she hadn't gone yet. So we was praying like, well, what is going on? Come to find out, God revealed and said it was the young lady. She didn't let her go. God showed it to me. I went and talked to her. I said, have you released your mom? She started crying. I can't. I said, this is where the word comes into play. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I said, you want to keep her here, but she wants to go home. That's been a little selfish. She's already lived a good life. I said, you have to release her. Put your mouth, release her. She said, I can't do it. I said, you need to pray and ask God to help you release her with this promise. This promise is that once you're absent from the body, you're in the presence of the Lord. She thought about it. She struggled with it like we all do. Finally, she prayed and asked God, help me. And then she released her. After we had a talk, 3:30 in the morning, somewhere around 3:34, her mom was gone. She called the house and said, mom's gone. God showed me something that sometimes God loves our, let our loved ones at that particular time hang around for us because our faith is not in the level where it needs to be. So he permits that to linger a little bit. Can y'all say amen?
Yes.
Now, so it could be that God, if he wanted to, he could have healed just like that. But sometimes we don't know the mind of the Lord and why he does things he does. But we have to trust him to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Does that make any sense? I don't know why I went that way, but there must be a reason for that. Now, how many know that when we say what God says, things begin to happen? Now, check this out. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all might have to write this down. In the Bible, there are descriptions of faith, different degrees of faith. I'm getting ready to give you a list of them. And then I'm going to close talking about one area of faith that's called great faith. And I'm going to expound on that, and then we're going to go home. All right? The first scripture I'm going to give you, we're not going to read these tonight. This is part of your homework. Tonight I'm going to give you some homework. Is that all right? Amen. It's called little faith. Little faith is found in Matthew 14 and 22. It's called little faith. Matthew 14 and 22. Weak faith, which is Romans 4, 18 and 20. And then you'll find strong faith coinciding with weak faith. Weak faith and then strong faith found in Romans 4, 18 and 20. Another one is called full of faith. Full of faith, which is Acts 6 and 5. So we got little faith, Matthew 14 and 22. Weak faith, strong faith, Romans 4, 18 and 20. Full of faith, Acts 6 and 5. Then we got sincere faith. That's 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5. Sincere faith, 1 Timothy 1 and 5. Shipwreck faith. Shipwreck faith, which is 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Shipwreck faith, 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Wavering faith, which is James 2 and 5. Wavering faith. Wavering faith is one, James 1, 5, and 6. Let's change that. Wavering faith is James 1, 5, and 6. Rich in faith is James 2 and 5. So we got sincere faith. That's 1 Timothy 1 and 5. Shipwrecked faith, 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Wavering faith, James 1, 5, and 6. Rich in faith, James 2 and 5. Perfect faith, James 2 and 22. World overcoming faith, John, 1 John 5 and 4. Exceedingly growing faith, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. So we got rich in faith, James 2 and 5. Perfect faith, James 2 and 22. World overcoming faith, 1 John 5 and 4. Exceedingly growing faith, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Are y'all there? Y'all got that? Now, if you don't have all of it, see your neighbor before you leave, and I'm quite sure they'll help you out. Amen. There's something I want to say before we get to this last scripture. As believers, we have to train ourselves through God's word to move into dimensions of faith. We have to train ourselves. Really, it's pulling down strongholds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, somewhere around there, it says the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. This warfare is not external. Most people, when they hear that, they're thinking about devil. No, this warfare is really internal, dealing with your mindset. Because it says casting out every imagination, listen, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's pulling down the carnal thoughts that sometimes invade what God says that he wants to do for us. You know, God says he wants to heal us, but the doctor says, well, you can't be healed. So now we have to find out, well, whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the doctor's report, or are we going to believe the word of God? Which is higher? Is the doctor higher than God's word? Now, that's when we have to make the decision. Now, we have to pull that thought down. And to pull that thought down means you change your mind. You change your mind. I love that remote I got at home, amen. Sometimes I got it in the hotel. I pop the TV on. That's power, I'm telling you. Praise God. Turn it. You sit far off a far distance and go, and that thing, a lot of power. Then you hit the channels, it'll change, amen. So sometimes we don't know, we have the power to change our minds just like that. We have the power to think on good things if we choose to, or bad things, just like that. We have the power of choice that God created when he created man. Let man become a living soul. In other words, man has a will to choose, and the power of choice is so powerful. I can choose to stand here, even though you may hit me in my face. I can still stand. I might have to get up a couple times, but praise God. It's what you will to do. Are you hearing me today? So when he said the weapons of warfare are not carnal, he's talking about really moving from carnality to spirituality and renewing one's mind. It takes a mental asset in terms of looking at what's going on in my mind. Sometimes it's like the cinema of my mind. I have to figure out, what are my thoughts? Where are my thoughts taking me a lot of times? Sometimes my thoughts would take me to depression, and I don't have to stay there because I can change the channel. Hey, glory to God. Sometimes my mind, it goes, I feel like somebody's talking about me. I change the channel. Praise God. Sometimes my thoughts are like, you know what? I don't feel worthy. I change the channel, because that what you meditate on will get in your spirit. Are you hearing me? So much so that the Bible said, put on the helmet of salvation. Let your thoughts be filled with deliverance. For who? For me. Your mind, your helmet is setting your mind to know that God will help you, and you will never be alone in your life, and he can help you, amen. If you're not educated, he can help you. If you're educated, he can help you, amen. If you're lost, he can help you. Whatever you knew, God can help you, amen. Having your thoughts always on that mindset is powerful. He says, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is produced through the relationship through Jesus that can never be changed. And that simply means that I am God's child. I have been delivered from, amen, from my own self. And even though I'm not perfect, amen, I know that I'm learning how to be mature. God thinks like a parent. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to be mature in your thinking. Some people are looking to be get perfected. You can't perfect the flesh. You got to kill it. When you kill the flesh, you don't kill this. You kill your fleshly mind. Come on. Am I talking right? And then you put on what? The mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Fellowship with the Father. What is the mind of Christ? Calling on somebody other than yourself. Calling on the Father. What is the mind of Christ? Knowing that we have covenant rights with him. When Jesus was trying to tell them, boys, you know, you don't understand. When you know you're with God, your words have power. You have power in your words. You may not never know it. You have power in your words. And when you say what God says, angels go to work. Every morning I got a prayer that I pray every morning. I found out the days that I don't pray it, I don't have a good day. So I think God is trying to teach me something. We call it prayer covering. So it starts out and says, Father, I thank you for allowing me to see this day that I've never seen before. And then I go and say, Father, forgive me for any sins that I've committed consciously or unconsciously in your presence. Then I stretch it out a little bit more because I know that I have power through my words together. It's called intercession to bring other people inside of that realm of where I'm at because I can actually pray for them also. So I said, Father, forgive my wife for anything that she's done consciously and unconsciously in your presence, any sins that she may have committed. I forgive my sons and their wives and their children. Forgive the ministry, those who are part of Kingdom Faith International Christian Center. And Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. Now I forgive those who have offended and hurt me. I release them even now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for the authority that you give me in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm moving now. Praise God. I move, amen, now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for giving me the right to use this name. I bind every word curse that's been spoken against me, my wife, my children, my family members, anyone. I bind it in it. I bind every familiar spirit, every generational spirit, every word curse. I mean, I'm binding it. Then I loose the angels, amen, to come to protect me, watch over me. Not only me, but my wife, my sons, my wife and their children, family members, even the members of Kingdom Faith International Christian. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Now, you know what I just did? Let me give you an example of what I just did in the natural. You took us to the restaurant over here that serves all this crazy lasagna and stuff, right? I sat down in the place to be served. I looked at the menu and I placed my order. I didn't ever have to run in the kitchen. I just had to sit there. Because my words will serve me because I've given them my order. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
They're not going to bring me back something than what I said. Are you hearing me? They go, you know, I said, I want to design you bring me back Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, I had to run outside the building and look and see. I don't see it says Krispy Kreme. What am I saying? You order up what God wants for you. Your word is the currency to order up. Have you asked him? Order up what you need. You have to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss because it's all based upon what you think you want, not according to what his word says. Let's close with this scripture, amen, if we could. Turn to Matthew's chapter number 8. Are y'all learning anything today? Amen. I want you to know you ain't trained for reigning. You ain't schooling for ruling. God's going to teach you how to change your mind. You're going to have to change the channel. Sometimes I'm thinking my thoughts ain't right, I change the channel. Right that quick. Change it, just that quick. I'm telling you, when you have those remotes, it don't take long, you know, unless the battery's dead. But you know, we have the power to change our minds.
Yes.
We have to execute that power. Learn how to, that's how you do it. Exercising yourself, amen, to know what's good and what's evil. And sometimes things in my mind are not right. I just change the channel. Did it make me evil? No, it was just a thought that came through my mind. Sometimes it comes through the ear gate. Sometimes it comes through the eye gate. Sometimes something I see, and then it comes back in as a memory. Change the channel. Change the channel. Then sometimes, if it keeps in repetition, sometimes it's hard for me to change it, so I just start quoting scriptures. One time the enemy said, you're going to be sick.
You're going to be sick. You're going to be sick. You're going to be sick.
You can hear that thought.
You're going to be sick. You're going to be sick. You're going to be sick. And I said, man, I don't feel well. You're going to be sick. And I said, oh, wait a minute.
No, I'm not. You hear the thought. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. It's not that you're crazy. Some people think, well, you're talking to yourself. Jesus talked to himself all the time. One time he looked at Peter, because Peter said you can't go to the cross after Peter gets the revelation in Matthew 16. And finally, Peter figured he got the authority to say something. He looked at Jesus, and when Jesus said, we've got to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to apprehend me, and they're going to take me through the judgments, amen. And then after that, they're going to kill me, and on the third day, I'll be risen again. And then Peter said, no, that won't be unto you, Lord. And then Jesus looked at him and said, Satan. He's looking at Peter. Hello? I think something's wrong. I know Peter's like, I said, he looked at Peter and he said, Satan. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I said, he looked at Peter and he said, Satan, get this hence behind me. He said, you're a savior of the things of man, not the savior of the things of God. The word savior means you promote flesh. You don't promote God's word. You have to have discernment to know, amen, even your own thoughts. When your thoughts are not right, you have to know that you have the power to change that channel. Every time you grab that remote from here on out when you get home, if you don't hear nothing about this message, that remote's going to remind you you need to change the channel.
Yes. Yes.
Don't harbor things. Don't be meditating on things that don't bring health and life to your spirit. Amen. Let it go. Touch your name and say, let it go.
Let it go.
And I don't know why. Somebody need to let something go. Let it go. Don't be like the commercial where they holding on and the woman holding on, it's a tornado and she's holding on to this crib and the mother's holding on to the crib and the daughter's holding on to the mother. And she said, Mom, just let it go. She said, you're going to need this one day for your grandchildren. And there's a tornado around. She said, just let it go. And the woman, the girl just take her phone out, takes a picture. And you know, because there's an app called Let It Go. There's a statement when you come into our ministry over the door, you come in the sanctuary and then you look over the top. It says, forgive, forget, and release. It says, forgive, forget, and release. You know what really breaks congregations up? Can I give you a revelation on it? It won't cost you anything. People coming with the concept when the church they come in, it's a perfect place. When you come in, it ain't perfect anymore. Is that all right? And it's not that we don't love Jesus, we just don't love one another. We fall out with one another so much that we think, okay, well, I'll just leave this ministry and go over to this one over here. And then, you know, and then they think, well, heaven's going to be a section where, okay, all those that didn't get along with this, these people be over in this section. And all those, no, you have to get forgiveness in your heart. Are you hearing me? This is powerful stuff today.
Yes.
Matthew chapter number 8, verse 5. Are y'all praying for me?
Yeah.
I believe you are. Praise God. Should I tell them that story, Lord? I got a story I got to tell you. Yeah. Y'all gave me some time, right?
Yes.
We said, not that much time. No, I'm just kidding. I was in a ministry. And we had a church function, and the pastor said, we're all going to rent some vans, and we're going to drive down to Bradenton, Florida for a retreat. And that's what we used to call retreat. We got smart. We call it a vans now. We ain't retreating, but back in the day, you know. So we have the mothers in the van, and we got the elders, and we got the kids, all of us, and we're just so happy. Everybody is excited. I mean, we're so excited, you would think that Jesus had just arrived on the planet. Because we're all taking a trip together. The saints of God are taking a trip together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got 15 passenger vans. We got 3 drivers. I mean, we got 45 people. We're on our way. So I'm in the one van, and one guy that's driving, he used to work for UPS. Well, in his nature, he's designed to drive to get to the destination. but he's carrying people. So his grandmother is on the bus also. So we're driving, we're in a good 50 miles, maybe a good 100 miles, and I can hear people saying, well, when are we going to stop? And it got to the point where he was so focused on driving, we would see stuff, and it's like, and then I was like, so finally, somebody had been hinting, because he wasn't listening, because when you focus, how many know when you really focus, sometimes you can't hear. You can't really can't hear because you focus. Amen. And what happened was is that all the saints are in there. I mean, we just, after a while, you can see the excitement level just go. And finally, we get to the place where we do stop. Because somebody has said something, he finally pulls over. And I'm sitting up in the front seat with him because, you know, I'm looking like, you know, he was an elder, so I'm a young guy, so I didn't say much. I'm just like, So his mom, grandmother, gets off the bus. And she looks at him and gets down to the last step like she's getting ready to go out to the place where she can take care of business like all of us. She looked at him. She said, you ain't driving cattle up in here. Grandma. Now you're laughing at that. Is that all right? So we switched drivers. I'm driving now. I'm driving. The young guy's driving. I'm driving. My wife, she's sitting up here with me, and we have the map. She's giving me the directions. We're driving. It's gotten dark now. Nobody can see. And now they're saying, oh, aren't we there yet? Aren't we there yet? And I said, no, we have X amount of miles. Well, it shouldn't take that long. I said, no, we have the map. The map says we passed one section, and the sign said, I didn't see no sign. Well, you ain't driving. That's what I wanted to say. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
These are the saints of the Most High God. Spirit-filled tongue talking. Carrying their Bibles. Finally, you know, it gets to the point where it's dark. You can't see anything. We're back in Brady in Florida, the roads, everyone, just our headlights. And finally, you can hear everybody just squawk. We should have been there. Pull over. Are we going the wrong way? And I told my wife, I looked at the map, and it said, she said, honey, we only got a couple miles yet. And I said, well, what's the next sign? And I seen the sign. And then they didn't see it. Oh, we need to stop. By then, I was like, we need to stop. We pulled up, and we're right at the place where we need to be. The van opens up. Nobody's saying anything. The bus clears out with everybody. You would think, you know, what happened between the time that we left, amen, to where we are right now is because people don't realize that you have to deal with people's immaturity when you come to the church. And you just can't leave because you just want to leave. You got to learn how to forgive, forget, and release. And the next day, that must have happened because nobody talked to anybody that night. The next day, oh, how you doing, sweetie? Oh, how you doing? Oh, God bless you. You did a good job driving. I said, yeah, right. Touch the neighbor and say, you got to forgive, forget, and release. That was good. The last verse is found in Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 5. We did something that some people say you don't do in church. You laughed. Laughter is good. This is when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. This is Matthew 8, verse number 5. There came unto him a certain centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to the servant, do this, and doeth that. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful training. Right? This is going to bless you with your socks still on, with your shoes on, amen. Praise God. This is going to really bless you, amen. When you look at this, the backdrop is that there's a centurion. Now, the centurion, you have to realize, he's a Roman soldier. He has either 50 to 100 soldiers under his command. This is the part that you need to get. When he began to join the military, he wasn't a military officer. He was a soldier like everybody else with no rank. But he learned the principle of something, that when you come under the authority of those who have authority over you, whatever they tell you to do, you submit and you do it. And because he practiced that so much, now he started getting bars on his shoulders because he knows how to operate in authority. Now, what happens is this man, amen, has a slave at home, amen, and the slave is a Hebrew slave under the Abraham covenant that has rights. The man can't walk. But the man, amen, that's the centurion, realized that this man, even though he's his servant, he knows that he has some title rights to him, because he must have heard about Jesus healing people, because he was not healing the Gentiles. He wasn't healing the Romans. He was healing those who were under Abraham's covenant, but tied to the Hebrew law in terms of the covenant of Abraham. So he knows that this servant at home, he said, I came to Jesus, amen. He said, listen, I'm begging you that you would heal. He didn't say, come to my house. He said, will you heal my servant? Jesus said, well, I'll come to your house. This man said, no, I'm not even worthy that you come to my house. But one thing I do know, and I know authority, and that is, you don't have to come, you just have to speak it. Faith has a lot to say. What you say about the matter being under covenant has a lot to do with what God's going to do for you. Notice that notice this man is beseeching on the behalf of his servant, praise God. And Jesus, amen, he says, listen, the man then tells Jesus why he knows what he knows. He said, I don't want you to come to my house. He said, listen, I'm a man of authority like you. He mirrored the fact to see that Jesus, for him doing what he's doing, he has to be under somebody's authority. No man can have that power to do what he does. He is speaking out of the realm of authority. Where is he speaking from? Oh, he said, I don't know. All I know, he gets results when he gets done talking. The Bible says that, you know what? He stops the crowd. He said, I haven't seen this mature faith. He says, great faith, but it's really called mature faith. Is when your thoughts are so filled with so much wisdom and knowledge of how a principle works, nothing can invade that, because you know that you're not looking for evidence of someone coming and touching. You know that the word has power within itself. And when the church knows that the word that God has given through has enough power within itself, we would stop some of the things that we do, even though the scripture says we need to do it. Sometimes we need to touch, we need oil and all that. But there's a higher place, a place of maturity, when you understand that if his word is spoken, I can receive it and it will be unto me according to his word. Are you hearing me today? That mature faith. The devil is afraid of the church coming to this place of mature faith. That's when we begin to speak and declare. Last night we began to speak over the atmosphere and declare some things over this area. We have the right to do that. You don't know that. And the church, sometimes we're praying and asking Jesus to come do it, and that's out of order. He ain't coming down. You don't want him to come now. If he's coming down, he's going to change everything. Praise God. He ain't just going to hit your, he's going to change it all. But he's put us in charge. He said, I've given you power to tread upon the servants, and by any means will harm you when you learn how to say what God says. Praise God. Are you hearing me today? Jesus stops the whole crowd and said, I've been looking for this mature faith. It came through this man understanding authority. When we understand that you're under the authority of God's word, you don't have to fear for nobody. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. We are in the authority of God. We just got to learn how to use it and not speak as infants, but speak according to what the word of God says. How many is in here is blessed? We're talking about developing your faith. It starts with changing the channel. Tonight, you'll grab that remote tonight. Oh, some of you will. And you are, that's power, honey. Next time a negative thought comes your way, next time somebody says something contrary to the covenant promises of your life, you need to remind yourself, I don't have to meditate on that. I dismiss that. I don't receive that. And stand on what the word of God says. Were you blessed tonight? Did you get that tonight? Come on, give God a hand clap. Could you do that? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Round two. No. Wasn't that rich? You going to start developing more faith? I remember the first night that he preached, he says, the word brings light, and the light brings life. Word, light. Word, revelation. Word, understanding. Word, entrance into our life. And as that occurs, life begins to break out because the life is in the word. The life is in the word, but you've got to have light of the word for the word to shine forth in your life, in your existence, so that the life of God can begin to break forth in us that comes from the word implanted in us. We don't know how it grows. We don't understand all the principles, but at the same time, he says, we plant the word, we tend it, we water it. How it grows, we don't understand. But when it reaches maturity, the man, the Bible says the man, not God, the man puts in the sickle and reaps the harvest from the word, the seed that was sown in the ground of the man's heart. And when that occurs, you get the life, the benefit, the abundance, the overflow of what the word was that was planted. Remember the seed in it. You plant a small seed, but it grows into a great tree. And everything for that tree, everything for that vision that is needed is in the word that was sown. And that word in us is Christ. And as Christ is sown in us, everything you need is in that word, is in the new birth. And what Ron's been teaching us and showing us is that as we humble ourselves to the instructions of the word of Christ, which is revealed to us in the scripture, as you let that word instruct you, it will produce the life in us of the seed that was sown, which is Jesus. You know, all the Old Testament was written about the Jesus who is coming. John the Baptist turned everything around because he says, all that word, all those prophets, all those things has now come manifest in the earth in Jesus, and now the kingdom that was being proclaimed, and we have the examples and the pictures of, the kingdom has now arrived. And then Jesus goes a step further. That kingdom that John proclaimed had arrived is now by faith in you. It's not out here. It's not coming, but the kingdom of heaven is in you. And it is up to us to bring those resources out, that kingdom out in our life, and by renewing our mind, by acting on the word of God. That's just doing what you know to do. You can't do what you don't know. If you don't know it, you can't do it. And sometimes we get all hung up. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, don't worry about what you don't know to do. Just do what you know to do, and you'll go from glory to glory to glory, because the more you know, the more you're going to do, because now you know to do it, where before you couldn't do it because you didn't know to do it, but now you know to do it, and you're doing it, and you begin to grow and increase, until you get a little bit of a harvest, a 30-fold harvest. You know, then suddenly you come into the 60-fold harvest, and then one day you just get the 100-fold harvest. You just wake up, I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. Those things that used to cling on us so easily now no longer can find a grip. They can no longer find a place to reside, because the kingdom of light has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness. Amen. We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light, because God is light. And now listen, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So we have the light in us so we can become the light, the witness of what God has done in us that can spread to the world, that the world can come to know Jesus the way you know him. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. This has been so good. It's been so rich. It's been such a blessing. Hallelujah. So when you go home tonight and you flip on that TV, practice the remote. I'm not going to think on this. And then when you find, I'm going to think on the things of God. And just switch it. I'm going to think about the things of God. Jerry Savelle got a great revelation years ago. He's watching TV and a commercial came on and said, shout it out. And God spoke to him and says, shout it out. Shout the devil out. Shout him out. Shout him out. Let go. Let go. Let go. You got, see, God uses commercials, things to speak to us. You got to let go of the past. You got to let it go. The longer you hang on to it, you're going to get sucked up in the vortex of that tornado. You got to let it go. Father God, we give you praise for revelation. We give you praise, God, for instructions. We give you praise, God, that you are working in us a greater glory than what we can imagine. Lord, we can only see so far in the natural, but God, you see in the supernatural, and you see where you are taking us. And Lord, we don't understand, but you do. And Lord, all we have to do is not worry about where you're taking us, but be concerned that we're being obedient to where you are, what you are showing us now, to do those things that are at hand, so that those things that you have planned for us can come in and manifest and do all those things that you've promised to do. So God, we give our lives to you. We give our heart to you. God, give us revelation on what we've heard tonight. We don't want just information, but God, give us revelation that we can be transformed from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have faith and in whom we believe. We thank you, Father, for this faith that you have given to us in Christ Jesus that can accomplish all things. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, God bless you for all of our visitors. Hi. And we're so glad Peggy got back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you.